I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Welcome to my vagina.
Hey. This is Jesse Karen.
I don't know why I did that. This is Rebecca Frank, and here we are again having our current historical, hysterical, and infuriating conversation about our lives as vagina-having organisms.
All content made up on the spot, but probably researched. I'm just kidding. It's definitely researched.
Cool. So we're here with Lauren and Eliza.
Hi.
What's up, guys? Hello.
And we're going to talk to them about the Motherline Story Project because they are celebrating their third anniversary on September 12th at Town Stages. And one of your favorite vaginal hosts, Jesse Karen, me, is humbled to be a part of this amazing performance and night of fun. So you should come and go buy a ticket at motherlinestoryproject.com. But let's start out by getting to know these lovely ladies a little bit.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, we're so happy to be here. Yeah.
That's what we're supposed to say. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, thank you.
We're bad at this.
Yeah. You're great at this.
I feel great.
My favorite hashtag is hashtag doing great. Because I feel like it's never sincere. It's always like doing great.
Yeah.
I'm fine. It's going to be fine.
My favorite hashtag is for sure the ironic use of hashtag blessed. By far favorite. By far favorite.
Followed only the by ironic prayer hands. One,
yeah, exactly. Like if I stepped in like a pile of shit, hashtag blessed. You know what I mean? Like it's just... Oh, I just love it so much because I just think about like the all of the other pictures my picture would be like friends with if you were to look up the top most recent posts and it's like so much God and then Rebecca steps and talks shit.
Lauren, can you tell us a little about yourself?
I'm from Florida, from Jacksonville, born and raised. I came to New York 10 years ago, almost exactly. I had my 10-year New Yorkiversary August 10th.
Wow.
So I'm officially a New Yorker because I know it's either 7 or 10 years and there's the jury's out on which one. So I'm officially a New Yorker. So
I
that makes me very
excited.
Officially
a New Yorker when you are mentally hostile towards subway goers.
Yeah. Or taxi drivers.
Yeah.
Like you have to bang on the hood and go, you know, I'm walking it. Like that's the that's the measure.
If you have murderous thoughts about people who walk slowly or you speed up going down the bridge on your bike when tourists are walking in your lane.
I'm not the only one. Mm-hmm. So that's a little about me. I went to the University of Florida. Go Gators.
She's dying to ask you a question.
God, please. So
please go.
So I see that you were an aerialist acrobat, which makes me think that maybe you enjoy gymnastics, and it just so happens that the University of Florida has a fantastic gymnastics team.
Yes, they sure do.
Did you ever
they
go watch
winners.
Them?
No, I didn't. Because the theater program like keeps you in that building
for forever.
Yeah.
So you can't really do anything else in terms of like student groups or extracurricular activities because mm-hmm. you're literally in that building from, I would say, 7 a.m. to like 11 p.m.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, but it was good. It was a really great program. I'm so, so happy that I went there. I have such close friends from that time that... I don't know that that happens that way very often.
Yeah, it's a big campus,
so
too.
Many of us like still stay in touch. Yeah. So,
Eliza, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, I'm Eliza Simpson, and I'm the founder of the Motherline Story Project.
Woo-hoo. Yeah, you are.
And I am a New Yorker, born and raised, but technically I'm from just north of the city. So that's a kind of like sticky area because upstate New Yorkers really bristle if you try to say upstate. But New York people from New York City, anything north of the Bronx is upstate.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. So it just depends on who you ask.
I'm from Staten Island. Mm-hmm. But when people ask me where I'm from, I'm like, where are you from?
Right.
Because it depends on how they react to me. If they're from Brooklyn and Manhattan, I am not a New Yorker. I'm a New Jerseyan. Mm-hmm. Even though we pay the same taxes.
I mean, seriously. Yeah.
But everyone else is like, oh, that's cool. And I'm like, oh, you must not be from around here.
Yeah, you're not from around here.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm an actor. I'm a producer. I run an arts nonprofit, and I'm a dialect coach.
Oh. Ooh. A very good one.
A very good dialect coach.
Accents and stuff?
Yes, accents and dialects for actors, but also for non-performers.
Oh my God, that's like my dream as a bartender is to be able to like fake accents to people and just fuck with them all the time, but I'm so bad at it, but I think it would be hilarious.
Let's get together. We'll work on like 5 or 6 and you can just like put them in rotation.
Do you have any idea how much fun I would have?
And they're usually Skype sessions. You can do it from anywhere.
Yeah.
So you don't necessarily even have to be in person.
Wow.
I'm doing all of your marketing for you.
Thanks, Lauren.
You can see what I do for the Motherline Story Project in our team.
Yeah. So tell us about the Motherline Project.
The Motherline Story Project is an arts nonprofit that is a platform for female storytelling. And, specifically the stories of our mother line. So going back through your maternal ancestors. And it's a platform that goes internationally. We hold workshops. The writing process is very specific. So we get storytellers together and everyone creates a mother line story. And the mother line story is very specific. It's about 2 minutes long. It's direct address. It's in the voice of someone on your mother line. And we usually have in each workshop a different prompt to kind of set you off on your research. But from there, from that kind of tight structure, people run in a million different directions. And so the stories are always super diverse and specific to the person and specific to the place. Mm. When we travel internationally, the stories, you know, they're connected because they're all the same structure and everybody has a mother, but they're so specific to the place. And it's a wonderful way to connect a group of people immediately, but also to kind of showcase how individual and specific storytelling can be.
I'm going to be home soon, and the kids are down the street having a play date, and I'm honest to a fault, and that in my marriage unexpectedly has been a big problem.
How did you envision and then form this into what it's become? Like, what was the seed of the idea that it started from?
Eliza was the seed.
You're the seed. Tell us about your seed.
The project is based on a pagan concept that says that any woman, whether or not she has children, for the 9 months that she's within her mother, she is a womb within a womb. So she is a vessel within a vessel. And so she catches things. So that connection back through the vessels is a very available connection, a very open connection, very powerful. So instinct and trauma and power and pain and all these things are really strongly, potently passed down. I knew about this concept and, but I'm a storyteller. What kind of kicked that off for me was that my grandmother moved in with my mother and they were under one roof, and my grandmother had, dementia at this point, and she had radically changed from the person I'd always known, who was kind of standoffish and, you know, private person, to this super cuddly, affectionate stranger. Mm-hmm. And I thought, who are you? I have no idea. who were you before life made you the person that I met? And I think I wanted to know her, and I wanted to know her thoughts so badly that I came back to this idea, this, oh, I want to know what her voice sounds like, and I don't think I'll ever get to hear it. But if the mother line is real, then I have access to all of that, all those experiences. And as a storyteller, I thought, great, I'll channel that and I'll create something. And originally the idea was, oh, I'll make a one-woman show where I'll do monologues as myself and my mother and my grandmother. And then I thought, that's indulgent.
Actually, her direct quote was, this is masturbatory. Anybody would want to come watch.
Nobody wants to see this. Like I should for sure write it. But I don't think I should perform it for other people.
Right.
But in one of the best, I think, like lightning bolt moments of my life, I thought, I bet other people have this experience. And so I reached out to my community, and one of the community was Lauren. And I was like, want to help me do this thing?
Sure, I don't know what I'm doing, but sure.
Yeah. And we were in a show together at the time.
Yeah.
Both performing in
a
show.
The Woodsman.
I'm really happy that you guys made it collaborative. I think relationships with mothers are, in general, just complicated. So it's beautiful to hear that you wanted to know who this person was before life kind of got to her in whatever way that it did. It's interesting to explore not knowing somebody and or kind of attacking a complicated relationship with somebody who gave you birth or gave you life, gave you birth.
Yeah. Also that, though.
Also that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things, right? No matter who you talk to about it, nobody has a kind of blasé relationship with their mother. Mm-hmm. It's charged. It's a powerful connection, no matter which way it swings. So I think that's a really important thing to examine. And there's a lot of healing, but there's also a lot of celebrating that gets done.
Much more than you would think when you're like, oh, I could tell you some stories about my mom.
Yeah.
Because you are doing it in the voice of your mother or your grandmother, it gives you enough of a remove to allow empathy to come in this really beautiful way. And another thing that I think is wonderful about the project, we have this tagline, amplifying women's voices, past and present. Mm. So not only are we getting to amplify the voice of the woman standing up telling the story, we are amplifying her mother's voice or her grandmother's voice or her great-grandmother's voice. And generationally, they might not have been able to do something like that because of where they grew up or the time period that they grew up in. And because being a woman is a relatively modern thing the way that we know it in terms of being recognized and being able to do the things that I was almost about to say things that we are allowed to do now. Mm-hmm. And I was like, ugh, okay.
There's some patriarchal language for you.
There we go. There we go. It's still there. So
I'm off the leash now. Yeah. Right? Now I just have a whistle.
Yeah. And what are we going to do? Just watch.
Shit's going to get crazy.
Right?
Have you guys, I just thought of this, ever had the experience of having someone, a woman who was adopted, participate and maybe who didn't know birth parents, how they kind of tackle this project?
Yeah. It came up almost immediately.
Yeah.
And that I think is important. The mother line speaks to a connection, and you need to, again, there are many ways to define that connection. So I think in one of our first workshops, we had someone who knows both her birth mother and her mother. Mm-hmm. And she wrote stories from both sides.
That's cool.
We've had someone who knows her mother but does not know her birth mother, has maybe a couple details about her birth mother, and she chose to write in the voice of her birth mother. And I think it's an amazing opportunity to acknowledge the womb-to-womb connection and to explore it, but not, I don't think we're, the aim of the project is to deify the connection or to kind of put it up on a pedestal.
Right.
It's to use it like a tool and to reach back through the narratives and explore your own voice as a performer. And to that end, we also have people in the project who don't identify as women, but do identify as female. Mm-hmm. And we have people who, again, if we're talking womb to womb, don't have a physical womb, but identify with that energetic space. or don't have, you know, that are in transition. Mm-hmm. And so that our structure is there because the connection is present and powerful, but I think it really is up to the individual storyteller to define mm-hmm. the parameters of that connection.
Mm. Because then, we've even had a show with a gender non-binary performer, and that was a first for us in terms of how do we make this this person feel welcome? How do we change our language so that it represents everyone who's going to be on that stage? And I think it worked as an examination for them about the way that they felt mm-hmm. about themselves and their history and their connection to their mother and sort of what that process had been like. And that was fascinating to watch. Mm-hmm. It was really, really lovely.
I have a two-part. One is you both have really great radio voices.
Right? What do you mean?
I know, I was like thinking NPR.
Yeah. Yeah. Just I was like, listened to way too much Krista Tippett.
So we're right?
Just like, next on being. Yeah.
And my question is, I'm curious to know about your mother's reactions to this show.
That's such a great question, Jesse.
Well,
thank you, guys. I think it's really important to acknowledge that Lauren and I are both performers, and we do perform with the Motherline, mm-hmm. but we have kind of dual roles. So we're performers, but we are also administrators of the project. So I think our families and our mothers react to us in different ways in those two different roles. And then I'll let Lauren take the baton from there, because I think...
Oh, goodness. I would really love to have my mother here to help me answer that question, because in a very strange way, opposite to kind of what we've been talking about, I would like to hear her voice talk about this rather than my experience with her, because I don't know that we've talked about the actual...
We can call a mom.
Dial a mom.
Hey, Mom, I don't want to put you on the spot again. about your secrets and your history that you haven't talked to anyone about before. I think that for the most part, she really enjoys being able to talk to me in this way mm-hmm. about things that I wouldn't necessarily ask about. I use this example a lot, but the reason why we have such a specific structure at Motherline for the pieces is because when people tell you stories about their family, they usually are kind of rambling and they're like, yeah, it was Thanksgiving, we were drunk, and I found out that my aunt did this, and I was like, what? You know, and you're like, Cool. so Motherline enables you to like really connect and get down into the story in a better way, I think. But I think my mom really enjoys being able to talk to me. I think she enjoys my curiosity about her experience because it is such a focused thing. But there are things about it that we find ourselves not talking about. Mm. I did a specific piece where I had my grandmother send me my mom's wedding dress. Mm-hmm. And I put it on for the first time in performance in front of the audience. And in that moment, a bunch of things happened at the same time. Me as my mother's character celebrated because the dress still fit after mm-hmm. all this time, because in the piece she was trying the wedding dress on before sending it to her daughter, who was going to do a Motherline story project piece about it, and like how many feelings that was bringing up. And then it was also my reaction as Lauren, the person putting on this wedding dress and going, holy shit, it mm-hmm. fits mm-hmm. exactly. And what does that mean? And so the audience and I had kind of a moment of riding that wave, and it'll always stick in my memory, I think. But afterwards I sent my mother a video of this piece. And I was like, you know, let me know what you think and blah, 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 blah. And I didn't hear from her.
Ooh.
Yeah. And so the next time I was home, I checked in with her again. And I was like, so, hey, Mom, I sent you the link to the video. Were you able to watch it? She's like, yeah, I watched it. And we basically ended the conversation by saying, you know, we will talk about it someday. She's just not quite ready to yet. Mm-hmm. So again, talking about curiosity, I'm very curious about what she has to say.
Right.
And it brings up a very good point that we struggle with a lot of, like, copyright issues and who the story belongs to.
Oh, yeah.
Does it belong to the person who created it? Does it belong to the subject of the story? Who takes ownership of that? And as a performer, is it okay to take ownership when it's not necessarily an homage?
Yeah.
While still trying to be respectful to your mother line? Because the stuff that we talk about is serious and private, and often takes a lot of gentleness on the part of everyone involved. Mm-hmm. So we recognize that as administrators, and we hope that we are able to help our performers and our participants navigate that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a big part of the project, recognizing that you do have a right to this story, that it's your history. And I think science is catching up with this kind of old world pagan concept, and epigenetics is proving how much we inherit through our DNA. Mm-hmm. And I learned the other day that female fetuses already have all the eggs that they'll carry in their life. Yeah. So technically you were inside the womb of your grandmother.
Yeah,
for 9 months. Ugh, you were.
My brain is exploding. Yeah,
you were around. And it's a very important, and I think a very empowering moment when you tell a writer, especially a woman, that you have the right to this. Mm. And more than that, you are the best person for this job. Mm. You are the expert on this. No one on the planet could do this better than you can do this.
Right.
No.
That's huge. It's huge. And it's, I've gotten to see some really incredible artists do this project. I'm really, really blessed to have gotten to see a lot of these stories. A lot of them are friends and colleagues that I've gotten to see lots of their work. And I always feel like the stories I see in this project reach a height of authenticity and just artistry that I don't see anywhere else. Yeah. It's always everyone's best work.
And it doesn't have to be from a performer. Either.
No.
I think a lot of people come into this thinking they're going to have to perform their piece. We do workshops just for workshop's sake. And we have people who are performing with us sometimes who are not actors. And thank goodness. because I want to hear everyone's story. I'm so curious about them. And I'm less interested in what your performance history is. I'm more interested in what your history is.
Mm. Yeah. So it's like the moth. That's in what? That there's a performance element to it, but it in no way demands that you have a history with performance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's got, and it's you. It's you. That's a big part of our shows as well, is that when we do share these stories for an audience, you come dressed as yourself. Mm. You start off the piece by saying, "Hi, I'm Eliza," so no one's confused.
Right.
"And this is my," and then you say, "mother, grandmother, great-grandmother."
Okay.
And then you do your piece.
I want to hear from you about your experience, because you're still like kind of a newbie to the mother line experience and family. So what is your experience been? How do you feel?
I feel amazing. I've been on a high. It's been really great. It gave me an opportunity that I wouldn't have done without this. Me and my mom have, as a lot of women, have had a very complicated relationship. And for the past few years, I think we've come a long way. But this, when you first brought it up, and it was first brought to me, it was suggested that I use it in a way to kind of not vent, but to use it in a way that didn't feel as healing. And so right before I came in, I was like, I kind of want to choose a story that makes me consider what was going on in my mom's life at the time I was 7 years old, when she'd lost two of her parents in the 2 months of each other. And then she was in the World Trade Center bombing, and like what, you know, and having me at 20 years old and what all that meant. And so it gave me this opportunity to not only empathize with her, but to also find compassion for what her life must have been like then, instead of holding on to this resentment. And it was a really amazing feeling to kind of let a lot of that go and be like, there's a reason for things, and there's putting yourself in your parents' brain for a minute, and why they were agitated, why they were frustrated, why they did this thing, or why they were stuck in a little bit of a, maybe an immature bubble for a while.
I think it's especially hard, you know, like thinking about where the time, like the time period where that story comes from is when you were really young. And you think about that, and that's a time in our lives when like, I mean, we're always the center of our own universes. That's, of course, how life works. Mm-hmm. But that's a time when you're kind of unapologetically the center, and you don't have to empathize or be compassionate to the person around you. And sometimes I think that your memories get caught up in that moment and like get caught in like the jello of that moment, and you don't get to see people through your new lens. Mm-hmm. And so I know that after, when Jesse and I were talking about it afterwards, she was totally like, I've never really had the chance to look at that time and like see my mom and not see me, because it's really hard.
Yeah.
Because you're the center of it. Of
You're a kid. So, you have your own memory of it. And then now as an adult, you're like, oh yeah, I had a bad day and I just snapped at that person. I didn't mean it. It happened. And then as a child, I'm sure you take those things and you snowball them. Mm-hmm. So
instead of walking in someone else's shoes, walking in someone else's womb.
Or wedding dress.
Or wedding dress.
Right.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So I really, thank you so much. This is a really powerful project, and I was really humbled to be a part of it.
We're really so excited. Happy that you are.
The best is yet to come.
I guess I'm wondering, you know, whether you're noticing a difference between different cultures in terms of like how much access to story women have, and kind of what the reaction in a culture like ours, where, and maybe I'm only speaking from personal experience, but like where maybe women don't have the conversations, don't have the time that they used to.
If Motherland's taught me anything, it's that we all have so much in common that the process of motherhood has such deep connecting ties all across the planet. And we are so diverse.
Our project has revealed to me that no story is boring. Women sometimes come to, or participants come to the workshops, and they're afraid if it's their first time. They don't want to share because first they say, oh, I'm not a writer. And everyone is. I can't stress that enough. And the second thing that they're afraid of is that their story won't be as good or as interesting as someone else's, because maybe it has to do with something that traditionally is a woman-based field. It has to do with laundry, or it has to do with doing dishes. But that's not actually what it's about. Mm. It's about the complexities of being a human being. Mm. So you might mention laundry, but that's not the point of the story. Mm-hmm. The point of the story is always something else. So I think that that's really important to stress, is that we have noticed that these stories are slice of life, but they are always fascinating. And it doesn't matter if it's a traditionally, quote unquote, female story, or having to do in the genre of household chores or women's work, that it's just about our existence as human beings and how we connect with one another.
Mm-hmm. And everyone has that wildly different, but also the same kind of togetherness of being a human. And then each individual story is fascinating through its simplicity of just living through human life.
And something tied to that is the first thing that happens after any performance, we usually have a guy come up to us and say, oh yeah, so I have a mother line. And you're like, okay.
Yeah. Bitch, sit down.
Great. No. That's a great moment to be like, yes, you do.
Yes, you do. We can't wait to come see your production of that. We are not producing that. That is not the lens through which we are doing this. We are choosing to be a little bit more specific about it. And then they kind of change tack and they're like, well, what about like a father line? I'm like, that sounds great. I will be in the front row.
Do that,
but
man.
Again, yeah. I'm not producing that. I'm producing this. In talking to my mother once, she was being a little cagey, and I finally got it out of her that she thought that the mother line was anti-man in a way.
Okay.
And so I sort of, I took a deep breath and I was like, okay,
we
so
all
how
just
do
did
we...
that at the same time, by the way, everybody
yeah,
in this room.
There was a little bated
I don't know if you could hear the eye roll over the recording.
Not at my mother saying that. It was important for me to hear as an administrator of this project that might be something that comes up.
Yeah.
And that we say that this is by women, about women, for everyone. Mm-hmm. Because what we are actually asking the men in the audience who come to see this, we are asking them to be active participants mm-hmm. in listening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In listening mm-hmm. to an experience that might not be their own, mm-hmm. but recognizing that it's also theirs, that yeah. they are connected mm-hmm. to it. And hopefully give them a different appreciation of some kind, but also that it's okay to hold space.
Yeah.
And that women tend to do that very, very well, be it nature or nurture. But we want to give that opportunity to the wonderful men in our lives as well. Mm-hmm. So we want to recognize not just mothers, but fathers too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like you said, they have their own stories. It's just not in this.
Yeah.
This isn't your space right now. You can listen. Yeah. We'd love for you to be an active participant by listening.
Yeah. And the best thing is that we do have many, many people come up to us of both genders and non-genders and say, I'm going to call my mom.
Aww.
And like, that's great. The real. Yeah. Yeah, that's what we really
that's
want.
Awesome.
People to go and find their own motherline stories yeah. and write them. Write them.
Yeah.
We don't have any sort of domain over this. Go write that story.
We usually have a write your own motherline story station so that people who come to see the show can write down like a little thank you note or a little something and put it up on a bulletin board and sort of offer that up in the evening. And I love reading them so much. They're
so
sweet because it's all ages, all ethnicities. We hope that we are able to hold space for, like, our youngest performer has been 11 wow. at this point, and our oldest wow. is 90-something?
Yeah, I don't know.
Question mark?
She's definitely up there.
One thing I wanted to go...
I didn't ask.
You don't ask
I didn't ask
a woman
only
her
because
age,
she was,
right?
like...
It's polite.
She was so formidable that I thought if I asked, she might, you know, like... wither me with her lightning
with
bolts.
With her gaze.
Yeah. It's like, ugh. But she was amazing.
One thing I want to go back to in your question was this sense of global and international stuff. Eliza can speak to that very well because she directed our show in Egypt.
Mm-hmm. And it was incredible. It was amazing. We had in that cast alone, we had a 14-year-old and we had our most venerable storyteller so far. The cast was 13. They were all Cairo-based, and they were all speaking in Arabic, in some dialect of Arabic, because some of them were Egyptian Arabic, some of them were Syrian Arabic, and the show had that core, and I couldn't understand. I had translations, but I couldn't understand. Mm-hmm. But I was enthralled, just over the moon, and I knew what was happening in each piece, and I was engaged, and... Afterwards, one of the representatives from the cultural attaché from the American embassy said, I was deeply moved. And, you know, my Arabic is not what it should be for me to understand everything that was up there. But and then she started describing the piece and how there were physical things in it that told her what was happening. Mm. And this is a woman who is incredibly powerful, but also deals in cross-cultural exchange every day. And it was like she was remembering what art could do to me. And I lost it. And she started to get a little teary. And the two of us just looked at each other and were like, isn't that so cool? So it really does. It's got that core of we all have a mother.
Yeah.
We all come from this line. Our mothers are all incredibly specific.
And you know that tone of voice.
And you know that tone of voice.
You're like, my mom has that. Yeah. Has that tone.
It was
Lauren,
amazing.
Pick up your socks. I get it.
Amazing.
I got it.
And amazing the audience in Cairo as well. That we had
similar.
Yeah. The dudes going up going, man, that was my mom. You guys do like a men's thing? It's like a men's thing too. And it's like, oh, people are so the same.
Yeah.
It's great. People are diverse, but people are so the same.
Right.
Really
and
exciting.
It connects everyone. And this, that's so powerful to hear that from somebody who's like, oh, right, art brings this out of people, and it matters.
And it's one thing for us to say as artists, like, our project does this. Mm-hmm. It helps you be more human. It helps you connect to your humanness. But to say it and to experience it are two different things. I'm just happy that I've actually had that experience instead of using it as a marketing tool to mm-hmm. say, come see this show and, you know, pay money. Because I firmly believe that that is what it does. I always feel so much closer to people after I have seen them or heard them share their story. Mm-hmm. And that to me is invaluable. And I don't know how to bottle it any better than what we've been able to do, because it puts people in context in an immediate way. I leave with, after each workshop, a room full of best friends and sisters and mothers and aunts and grandmothers. And it's just a beautiful way, I think, to live life. And I'm very grateful for it. Yeah.
Did Motherline advance in the way that you expected it to, or did it kind of just take its own shape at this point?
We have been like constantly surprised by the project and where it wants to go. And because when it started, it was like a wine and cheese night to see mm-hmm. if this would work. And then the first show was, well, we'll put it up and see if it's interesting. And I think at every stage we say, well, let's see if this works. Mm-hmm. And it does. It just it does. And it proves itself over and over again. And at this point, we're just stewarding. Yeah. We're not in any way the engine. Mm-hmm. The project's going to go. It's going to go and go and go. So we are like any good stewards, like any good parents.
In keeping with the birth metaphor, have this 3-year-old coming out of the terrible twos.
Oh, they were terrible. But yeah, we were coming up on the 3rd anniversary of Motherline's first performance. And we are holding a birthday themed fundraiser.
Happy birthday to you.
Immediate tears.
Giving my sister another grandbaby. Please cover my niece and her baby with a blanket of protection throughout the pregnancy. Thank you for blessing me with my children. Lord, they are more than I can ask for.
Tell us about the event and everything that's happening, and plug all your social media. Yeah. So what's going on?
Well, actually, I want to ask you to help us do it, Jesse, because
you're going to be there and you're a huge integral part of it.
So excited.
Yeah.
Jesse's telling a story, guys.
I am telling a story about my mom's, and she's going to be there with a Staten Island accent.
Yes. Oh, we can't wait.
I hope she's bringing a whole Staten Island posse.
A whole bucket full of Crabs Rockefeller.
I want it. The nitty gritty of it, it's happening Wednesday, September 12th. It's at Town Stages, which is a women-run venue. It's relatively new, but it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. This is our best and biggest show yet. We have 17 cast members. So it's a huge show, ranging in ages. We have one of our Egyptian performers who's going to be joining us too. So it's going to be as international as we love. We're going to announce our next season and what we have to look forward to in our next year as we grow. It's also doubling as my birthday party. So now you have to come.
It's actually on Lauren's birthday.
Wow.
So
can we sing
Happy birthday to you.
But there's going to be signature cocktails that are based on the pieces that you're going to hear that night. There's going to be a live band. There's going to be face painting. There's a hug from mom booth. There's a photo booth. There's going to be a slideshow of all the pictures of our performers, and of course our world premiere performance of the Motherline Story Project. And then there's going to be a dance party, and it's going to be catered food, and there's going to be tons of dessert and everything. So it's the biggest party we've ever thrown.
Yes.
Hopefully the best party I've ever thrown.
It will be.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And the best performance that we have ever put forth. So we're really excited, and we want you to come.
It's going to be a blast. And so there's an hour before the show which you should come and you should take advantage of the party and drink cocktails. The show's going to be at 8. We're going to just like dive into the deepest, coolest Motherland show ever. And then end the night with a dance party. So like come as you are, but come swanky.
Swanky. Come swanky.
And you guys are a 501c3. Is that right?
You're a non-for-profit.
We are a non-for-profit. But how fortuitous that you should ask. That process is so close to being done. Yeah. I can taste that
literally
01c3.
You know what I mean? Second.
We're just waiting for the confirmation. Awesome. And as soon as we know, you'll know.
Great.
But yeah. People can still donate to your project.
Yes, donate. They absolutely can.
Yes.
Okay. And where do people get tickets?
www.motherlinestoryproject.com.
Cool, that will be in the episode notes. So you could just go on down to the episode notes and click on the
bio. Yeah.
If you find that you can't come to our birthday party, we'll be devastated. But there is another way to help Motherline Story Project achieve its goals. We do accept donations. So if you like the work and you want to keep seeing it happen all around the globe, visit our website.
Yeah.
Give them your money. Yeah. Give them your money.
And even if you don't have money to give, but you have a community that you think would be served by this process, please let us know. motherlinestoryproject@gmail.com because we would love to come visit your community and create this beautiful, unique experience, whether it's in show form or just workshop form.
Yeah, nice. That's what we really want. Yeah. We really want to come see you.
Spread the Motherline love. That's all.
Yay. Thank you so much for being on. Yeah, you're so welcome. You. And thank you for letting me be in your project.
Yeah.
I'm very humbled.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
So look up these wonderful ladies on Instagram.
Yes.
At Motherline Story is our handle.
Yes. Instagram, Facebook, yeah. Twitter.
Everywhere.
www.motherlinestoryproject.com. You can find us.
If you want to watch some dope Motherline stories, check out our YouTube channel.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And just come. And we'll see you on the 12th.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see you on the 12th. Party. In your birthday suit.
Yeah.
Yeah, bring your birthday suits.
Sequins, not naked.
I wouldn't be mad about it.
Sweet. It's my kind of party. Thank you for listening to Welcome to My Vagina.
It's time for us to slide on out of here.
God damn it.
Doesn't sound right when I do it.
I know. Places you can find us on Instagram at Welcome to My Vagina.
We're trying to get 1,000 followers to tell your friends. And Twitter at Welcome to My Vag.
We also have a website, welcometomyvagina.com, which leads you to my YouTube page. Also, Welcome to My Vagina.
Uh-huh. And there's a blog section where I have posted a couple of things, but we're also looking for writers. So if you have interesting opinions, if you are a person who wants to break into writing and wants to share your voice, we're looking for diverse opinions, all sorts of different people.
We're basically looking for anyone who's not a cisgender man. We definitely want you guys to be allies, but right now we're looking for other voices.
Yeah. And also we love our white women peers, but we're two white women sitting here, so we'd love more diverse voices.
Also, thank you so much to our producer, Caitlin Moldenhauer of More Banana Productions. Please check out all of the work from this all-women network, including World Stealers, There Will Be Porn, I'm Listening with Anita Flores, and Awkward Sex in the City with Natalie Wall, which is coming to you in July.
Yeah, More Banana Production is killing it.
Yeah, guys, we're kind of taking over the world. And don't forget to review us.
And subscribe and tell your friends.
Yeah.
And we're going to have merch soon.
Merch.
I don't know why that word always makes me think of Merkins.
Ooh.
Merkin merch.
Also, check out all of Rebecca's writing at franklyrebecca.com.
Dun-da-da!
Da-da-da!
Yeah! All right.
See you next
Tuesday! See you next Tuesday!